baby. I'm a little lover boy. Jamie Locker with you on this Thursday afternoon with American Thanksgiving. Football is on. You know, this whole 51st state thing, maybe a little bit of reconsideration with American Thanksgiving on. We get American Thanksgiving off. We watch football today.
I'm going to say this.
I warned you this is how I was going to start the show today.
I'm going to say this, and I'll tread into these waters carefully. I like Canada, and I think the 51st state thing is a little bit more complicated than just American football.
For my little pea brain, I'm just thinking selfishly of sitting at home today, eating turkey and watching football. That's all I'm saying.
877-332-8255. Jamie said that.
Let's go!
Jamie Nye.
Send any and all complaints to Program Director Murray Wood.
Oh, he'll love those.
It is.
He will love those. That'll make his day.
American Thanksgiving has a triple header of NFL football today.
There's no place that I would rather be today on Thanksgiving than right here, right now at a football game.
Ah, the late, great John Madden really made this a tradition. That's where they're all the teams, if you're seeing the patch, that is John Madden's likeness on all the jerseys today. The turkey leg tradition started with John Madden.
I didn't notice that. Yeah. I'm just noticing that now.
The coins for the coin nice toss have a turducken on one side and John Madden's image on the other for Thanksgiving. As the first game is going on right now, the Green Bay Packers, Jordan Love has thrown three touchdown passes as the Packers lead the Lions 24-14. That is early going in the third quarter.
Defense is standing up today.
Well,
right?
Micah Parsons is. They're triple teaming him, trying to keep him away from Jared Goff this afternoon. Of course, the Chiefs and the Cowboys kick off at 3:30 Saskatchewan time. The nightcap.
Go Cowboys!
Is Joe Burrow and the Bengals. He is back taking on their division rival, the Baltimore Ravens. There is a game tomorrow as well, the Bears and the Eagles.
The Leafs get a win with Matthews and Nyes back in the lineup. Plan the parade.
Nyes, D-Later again. Scores! If there's a will, there's a way. And the Leafs win it here in Columbus.
Nylander, Toronto's career overtime goal leader. I had to double check that. So he's got 15. So that leads all Toronto Maple Leaf.
Yep.
Past and present. All right. We'll give it to him. Columbus had a goal call back in the first, and then there was no scoring until late in the third. Both teams held off the score sheet. Like I said, the Blue Jackets got the first one 3 minutes later. Easton Cowan ties it up. So that's a nice goal, too. And then you just heard Nylander's OT winner. It was a beautiful goal. With the win, the Leafs are now only 4 points out of a playoff spot. And they're not dead last in the Atlantic anymore.
American Thanksgiving, and yes, there's still, after all those games last night, only one Canadian team in a playoff spot. That is the Ottawa Senators. Julian McKenzie is going to talk about the Sens season a little bit later on. Drama just played out in Halifax at the Canadian Olympic Curling Trials.
Yep. Christine LeBlanc. Yep. The runner out of stones. And to play to go to the Olympics against Rachel Holman. Christina Black. Make the final 6-3. Black is your winner.
What a moment in Nova Scotia, of course, with the death of Colleen Jones. Colleen Jones's son is engaged to the second of Christina Black's team.
Wow.
So the Jones family was there. Colleen's, of course, a widower was there. Her kids were there. They had Colleen Jones's jacket hanging up in their suite today as Christina Black will play Rachel Holman in a best-of-three final. That begins tomorrow, but there was more drama last night on the men's side. Brad Guju, the final rock of the final draw in his final year of competitive curling. Can he make the playoffs?
Brad Guju, as the crowd comes alive, Nichols on it. Nichols staying with it. Can you get your three? Bang, bang. No, he pumped it through the middle. He went right through the middle. And Dunstone, not on the ice, will pick up the playoff spot.
Yes, Brad Guju is out of the playoffs, the final three. Dunstone against McEwen. That game starts at 5 o'clock Saskatchewan time. Of course, McEwen beat Dunstone to qualify for the playoffs. Dunstone needed Ryland Kleider to win.
Yeah.
He needed Guju. He thought he was done. When he lost, he was like, I'm out. Like, what? He was so ticked off at himself. But backdoored his way into the playoffs, takes on Mike McEwen. Of course, Brad Jacobs is awaiting the winner of that one in the best of three men's final.
If you missed that goose shoot, he was going for the triple, and he hit it right on the...
right on the beak.
Yeah, if he had hit it like an inch to the left, to the right, I should say, he would have knocked those three out of there probably.
Why? You can see him. Why weren't we sweeping? He was so upset at the line call from Brendan Botcher. On that one.
NBA, the Raptors win 9 straight.
They're going to let him go. Here's Ingram. Brandon Ingram! Yes! He did!
They almost lost to the Pacers last night.
I told you they were going to win.
Brandon Ingram with the 15-footer jumper with 0.6 seconds left to give Toronto their 9th straight win. He had 26 points, 8 rebounds. Barnes had 24 points, 10 rebounds. Raptors are at Charlotte on Saturday night, a couple of days off.
And some big money being spent from the Toronto Blue Jays as they solidify another starter.
You can't look away. Got him. Swing and a miss. He struck him out, making 11 Ks for Cease.
Yes, Dylan Cease, reportedly 7 years, $210 million. Haven't officially been announced by the team. He turns 30 next month. But when you look at this Blue Jays rotation, of course, you put Cease there, a runner-up in the Cy Young a few years ago with Kevin Gausman, Shane Bieber, Treya Savage, Jose Barrios, maybe a Lauer Bowden Francis in it. That is a solid.
I think you still got to keep Max Scherzer. Nope. We were talking about with a JB. You can put him in.
No reason.
I don't think he's in the starter rotation.
No, you don't put him in the bullpen.
Yeah,
no reason.
Yeah, you do.
If he wants to play, thanks for your service, Mad Max.
Bullpen.
No.
I like it.
No reason to keep him. But Dylan Cease, a pretty darn good pitcher, joins the Blue Jays roster. Clearly, Rogers wants to spend money
to keep
their World Series window wide open.
It's early in free agency, right? This is a surprising move. That's one of the bigger names of the free agency season here for baseball. So that's promising news for Jays fans, right?
I like it.
I like the fact that they're being aggressive right now.
Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. It's been a busy day of sports because it's American Thanksgiving. We'll bring you up to date on what we're watching, the Packers and the Lions right now, Cowboys, Chiefs a little bit later on. But we are punting. We're just having some fun here on the Green Zone. We're just having some fun. To get American Thanksgiving off as a stat, let's say you had to sacrifice one Canadian thing for that to happen. What is it? 1-877-332-8255. So we could be at home, guilt-free, watching the triple header of the NFL right now.
I've given up the Rush, the band, which that's a big sacrifice for me.
A sacrifice? How about the Tragically Hip collection?
No, that's...
now that's a sacrifice.
That's too much.
1-877-332-8255. This is the Green Zone on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Jamie and Locker with the air in the Green Zone. So I'm watching football. What's the deal? Just poke me when I'm supposed to talk. Packers are trying to score again on the Detroit Lions, who got their own touchdown. Elon Musk will be happy. Tesla got a touchdown from the Detroit Lions. So that made it 24-21. Now the Packers are threatening to score again. Josh Jacobs just left injured. Amon-Ra St. Brown left for the Detroit Lions.
I think Jacobs is fine. I think it's Charlie Horse.
Shot to the shin. That's got to feel good.
It was up here.
Yeah. We'll see how he's looking.
Thigh.
But it's 24-21 right now in the third quarter. Jordan Love already has three touchdowns on the day. Passing, of course, the Chiefs against the Cowboys this afternoon. And then the late game, you have the Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Has Brady done something to his face?
Oh, yeah. He's totally getting.
Yeah?
He's getting work done. 100% he is. There's no doubt.
He never had a jaw that square before, did he? Yeah, he's got some work. So our topic, our conversation about what would you give up Canadian that we could use as sort of bait to get American Thanksgiving has turned a little political. We'll read these couple of texts just to sort of get them out of the way, Jamie. But we don't. This
we,
doesn't
we like
have
to have a little bit more fun than the political side of things.
It doesn't have to be a political thing. All right. So one Canadian thing I would like to give up so we could have American Thanksgiving is our prime minister. No name on that one. Also, guys, I would give up the entire Liberal government. Yeah, because the political situation down in the States is so secure. To get American Thanksgiving, that is John. John actually apologized for making it political, so at least he's self-aware enough to realize that that's not where we wanted to go with this. And then one more. Jamie, why not make the U.S. the 11th province? Then we have two Thanksgivings. Brad from Crane Valley.
How about the 4th territory?
And Michael wants to give up the CBC so we could get football. I'm guessing, Michael, you'd have some support for that.
You're going with Rush, eh?
Rush, yeah. What are you giving up? I haven't heard yours yet.
Well, Michael Bublé might be one I'm giving up after his recent comments.
What do you mean?
He was very positive
about the Canucks.
Have you seen what Michael Bublé is talking about the Vancouver Canucks?
Canucks got a win last night. He's the kind of fan the Canucks need.
They're fine. It's the media in Vancouver. They want the team to lose. It's better for the media in Vancouver. I hate that narrative. It's so BS. No media member is cheering for their teams to lose games. That's garbage, Bublé.
Well.
Like, come on.
Are you sure?
Yes. Trust me, I've been accused of it. Oh, you want the Riders to lose? Like, no, I don't. I want them to be interesting. That's what I want. And this team was interesting.
If there is a market in Canada where the media might be hoping to wake up to something to talk about that's negative, it might be Vancouver. So
anyway,
that's all I'm saying.
I'm giving up Bublé.
And then we lose that tasty.
It's not tasty. It is overrated.
That drink? I like a Bublé. A little bubbly every once in a while.
All right. 1-877-332-8255.
I don't want to spend the whole day reading political texts. Oh, ham and pineapple pizza. Sheldon! Send that south. Thank you.
There we go. See, that's
topic's
what we're talking
over.
About.
We can leave. We can go home.
No.
We can go home.
There might be some other suggestions. We didn't even think a ham and pineapple pizza.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Sheldon.
1-877-332-8255. Hope you're having a great Thursday afternoon. Jamie Locker with you on the Green Zone. It's American Thanksgiving to bring you up to date on the National Football League right now. The first of three games, the Green Bay Packers leading the Detroit Lions 31-21. And Jordan Love is humming. He's got four touchdown passes for the Packers today. Chiefs and Cowboys coming up in about an hour from now. But we're going to turn our attention to the lone Canadian team in the playoff spot at American Thanksgiving, and that is the Ottawa Senators. Julian McKenzie is joining us, writes for the Senators with The Athletic, as well as host of The Chris Johnston Show, and be on the lookout for his new book in February, Black Aces, as well. Julian, thanks for coming on the Green Zone today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, man. How you doing?
Very well. So let's get at it with the Senators in a playoff spot right now, the only Canadian team going, and they've done a lot of success without Brady Tkachuk. How
so impressed? They should trade him, right?
Oh, boy. We can't be doing this. We can't be doing this.
Coming out of the gates hot.
Yeah, well, you need to know Locker's got a hate for the Tkachuks, so that's his issue.
For the Tkachuks, they don't even play out west anymore. What is this?
It's the whole family.
He's terrible.
The dad, the mom. I cheer against the grandparents' lawn bowling team. If it's Tkachuk related, I'm against it. Because
what did Keith do to you growing up?
No, it was Matthew Tkachuk beating his Oilers in back-to-back Stanley Cup finals is what's really soured.
Whatever will you do?
Exactly. But without Brady, how impressed have you been with this Senators team without their captain? To win, 11-21.
They've done some good things right. I think there's been moments where their offense has stood out. And I mean, I recently wrote about how Kim Stutzla stepped up when this team has needed him to. Obviously, we know him as the number one center on this team. We know the skill that he has, and he's hit 90 points before. But I think the fact that he's just been hitting another gear in terms of the offense he's been able to set up, the fact that he's been counted on to play defensively and work at his penalty killing. I think that's a story in and of itself. And even having players like Drake Batherson step up, Claude Giroux is part of like the best third line in hockey with Michael Amadio and Shane Pinto. Shane Pinto, who also just re-upped on a contract of his own, and he was off to a pretty good start to the season too. Just seeing that this team has stepped up in Brady's absence, and Brady actually, before the season even began, had said this is the deepest team he's ever been on. Like, it's just to go off the start of this season, they've kind of proven him right. If you really want to go at it with his argument, like, I think they've proven him right with the way that they've played, and now they are turning the corner with their penalty kill starting to get a little bit better. Their goaltending starting to get better too. It was off to a tough start, but Linus Ullmark has won 3 straight games for the first time this season. I mean, for Brady Tkachuk to come back at this point, I mean, he's already excited enough as it is to come back after I think almost 20 games off. But to see his team in a really good position, he's going to love that too.
Have you noticed a change in how they're handling the goaltending situation this at the last, I'd say, 20 games or so? Or is it sort of status quo?
I would say that I think the fact that, well, I'll start with the backup here, Levi Mäkinen, who didn't have a really good preseason.
Yeah.
His first start of the year wasn't great. The fact that he's been playing better in the NHL starts that he's had, I think that bodes really well for this team going forward, just because Linus Ullmark, he's never played more than 49 games in a season. I think he's projected to play about 60, 64 games this year. That's a little above the norm for what we see for typical goaltenders. And I think in order for the team to get to a point where they could kind of regulate his starts, get to 50, 55, which I think is a sweet spot for a lot of goaltenders nowadays, you need your number two goaltender to kind of hold the fort. And I think for Levi Mäkinen in the last few games that he's played, I think that helps. I still think with the way that they've been deploying him, where they keep him up on the NHL team, they get him to play games. If there's a moment where it looks like there's a lull, they send him down to the American League for him to get his reps up as well. I still think that played a part in him regaining his confidence at the beginning of the year. We'll see if they'll continue to do that. I wouldn't be surprised if they continue to do that, because they still see him as a developing goalie. But they need him to play. And if it puts them in a position where they feel confident in him and they're able to give him more starts, that is really going to help a goaltender like Linus Ullmark, particularly once this team makes the playoffs, where it seems like they're trending towards doing that right now. But, yeah, they need to actually make it to the playoffs to get there. But in order for them to do it, they need performances like Linus Ullmark yesterday to get them there.
He didn't look like a developing goalie in Los Angeles the other day.
No, I mean, I think Levi Mäkinen has earned the trust of this organization. You go back to last year, and the fact that Linus Ullmark was hurt for partway through the year, Anton Forsberg wasn't at his best when he was still on the team. He kind of got thrown into the fire a little bit, and it worked out for him in the limited amount of time he played. So I think the fact that he has looked solid in the time they've had him in the NHL from last year, that sets him up for the opportunities this year. In these last few games, I think he's looked at his best.
Julian McKenzie is joining us from The Athletic in Ottawa, host of the Chris Johnston Show. So Linus Allmark and Stuart Skinner almost have the exact same save percentage. Is this goaltending going to get it done long-term for Ottawa the way Linus is playing?
I think if you look at the last three, maybe even four games for Linus Allmark, it's gonna be a lot better compared to what it was like at the beginning of the year. Like, let's make no bones about it. His start of the season was not good. When we spoke to him a couple weeks ago, he pushed back on the idea that, he was struggling. I think he knew that he was struggling, but he tried to be defined. He tried to be confident. He was saying he doesn't give too, I can't say the word on radio, but you know what I mean.
He probably starts with an F.
He doesn't care about what we think with his struggles, and he's found a way to turn it around since. I think the fact that when we spoke to him that day too, he said it was more of a mental thing than the physical side of things, and maybe it looks like he's getting over whatever mental hurdles are there. And I think the fact that he's won three straight, I mean, if you go back, the last five or six games, he's lost six games specifically, 4-1-1 with a .914 save percentage. That's the Linus Allmark the Ottawa Senators need to get through the rest of this season and the playoffs. I think if they continue along that road, they'll be in a good spot, but I really think they need to ensure that Levi Marilainen's still in a good spot too, where they could take some of his starts and ease off some of that load. I don't think that the Senators could be in a position where they start to see Linus Allmark play 60-something games to get through it. I don't think they're at that position yet.
Julian, my old buddy Travis Green, mixed reviews when he showed up in town, but what kind of an impact has he had on this team?
I think the fact that he's gotten this team to play this defensive style and buy into doing the little things, that's, no matter how his tenure ends, that's going to be his legacy as head coach of this team, I think. And maybe it's kind of early to say that for a guy who's about a year and a couple months into his tenure, but this team has taken a jump compared to previous seasons with the core intact. And I think even for the way these last few games have gone without Brady Tkachuk, I think it's fair to give him some credit in the way that he's kind of deployed his lines, tried to find combinations that worked, and also seeing his team just play tight structurally. I mean, even the two regulation losses they've had this month, both against Los Angeles Kings, they held their own in those games. They tried to be stingy. It's just Los Angeles just found ways to score just one more goal than the Ottawa Senators. I think Travis Green, the fact that he's gotten players to buy in, the fact that he's shown tough love on certain guys, and even with a guy like Tim Stützle, who last summer when he gets the job, he meets with him and he says, hey, I want you to be a 200-foot player. I don't want to take away your offense, but I want you to do all these little things that will ensure that you're more of a complete player. And the fact that Tim Stützle, it's taken him time, but he's been this solid player for this organization, and he's been able to contribute offensively. Like, as I mentioned earlier, he's doing more defensively. You can make the argument that, like, there's no player, if you're trying to think of a player who Travis Green has helped improve the most, you can make an argument it's Tim Stützle. He's probably the best example of how effective Travis Green has been for this core. Again, we're still in the early days, right? It's only a year and a bit in. They made the playoffs last year, of course, but I think the fact that he's been able to have this impact on his group, I think that bodes well for him.
Julian McKenzie joining us of The Athletic, host of the Chris Johnston Show. And hey, you gave us some time for us this afternoon. Would love to give you the opportunity to promote something coming up big time in February. Is this your first book, Julian, that you've done?
Yeah, first book, man. I've wanted to write a book since I was like 6 years old, and Black Aces, it's just a series of profiles on black hockey players throughout the years. Chapters on Willie O'Ree, Herb Carnegie. Jerome McGinley was really kind enough to provide a foreword, and there's a chapter on him too. Grant Fuhr is in that book as well.
Awesome.
DK Subban, Anson Carter, Josh Lahak is there too. Sarah Nurse, Angela James. I can go on. It's really awesome to be able to have that opportunity to put this project together, and you are able to pre-order it now. If you're still doing your shopping for Black Friday, add that in your cart wherever you get books. So Amazon, Indigo, local bookstores. If you could support a local bookstore, you should do that. Go through the publisher of the book too, Triumph. They're selling the book as well. The book's going to be out February 3rd. Out in stores at that point, but get your pre-orders in now so that way you'll have it in time for February.
Was there someone you talked to that surprised you the most with stories or upbringing or anything like that?
I would say that I really enjoyed talking to Jaroslav Lahak. I feel like for some of the other guys I spoke to for this book, like, we all know about how successful Jerome Iginla is, or PK Subban, Sarah Nurse, Angela James, and all that. But George LaRocque, I wanted to go in a different direction with him, where instead of just focusing on his fighting, I kind of focused on a very specific moment that happened in his career. I'm not going to reveal it right yet, but just hearing him tell that story and kind of looking back on his career was such a cool, fun moment. I think just to see him be so excited about it and to see that part of his game showed in a really interesting way. I think for a lot of people who read it, they'll come across really interesting stories like that. Hopefully they'll be entertained. And even for the people who are wondering, you know, hey, well, why didn't you write about this person? There's a good chance the book will mention them in some way. And there's a few other different stories that are kind of weaved through some of the different chapters I wrote. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to people being able to read it. And I'm looking forward to actually hold the copy in my hands. I'm still waiting on it. It's being printed as we speak. So I'm really excited about it.
Well, that'll be a cool day. Good for you, man. That's impressive.
I appreciate that, man. Thanks.
We didn't talk about the stadium. Yeah. I just want to put that out.
Are we getting the? When's that going to happen?
No, we're not talking about it. We almost got happen? Through the whole interview without a stadium conversation.
Look, the day we all figure out when this new arena is coming up in Ottawa, man, I feel like we're all going to be the first ones to know. I mean, even talking with ownership, and I'm not being facetious when I say this, but like they're still waiting to figure out exactly when the project can actually, you know, get going, right? Like they have to
Julian wrote a book first.
Jeez.
He's been working on this book since he was six. He got the book done first.
Oh my God. If there's one thing this is the third team I've covered, man. Basically now it's like your team is either the rebuilding or your team is getting an arena deal. I mean, the Calgary arena is going to get done before the Sens might even get started on there. So it's a bit of a funny situation.
Wow, Stampeders might get a football stadium before the Ottawa. never mind. That's
go there.
That's
I'm not,
not.
I'm not getting into any CFL rivalry with you guys, man. That's tough, man. You guys already beat the Alouettes. I'm heartbroken enough.
All right, Julian. Thanks so much for your time this afternoon. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks for having me, guys. Peace.
That is Julian McKenzie from The Athletic, The Chris Johnston Show. And check out the book coming out, Black Aces in February. Coming up next on This Day in Sports History in the Battle of Canada versus the United States. It was a major moment in the Canadian Football League 31 years ago today. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Ipswich Farm remembers.
It's up.
And after 22 years, Raymond
Moore! Thomas Reed, I'll be back in time.
Yeah, I know that. You remember?
I gotta get back in time.
On this day in sports history, 1994, the BC Lions defending Canada against Baltimore in the 1994 Grey Cup, and it came down to this.
This for the win. The BC Lions are the 1994 Grey Cup champions.
Yes, Louis Pasaglia hits the game-winning field goal. You remember the field goal? I remember it clear as day. He kicks the field goal, and as the ball goes through the uprights, the camera pans up to the upper deck where somebody has a gigantic Canadian flag as the Lions beat the Baltimore or the Baltimore CFLers, I guess they were called technically, in that Grey Cup / Stallions.
And then he went on to kick footballs for another 42 years.
Maybe they should have brought Louis into for the Riders this season.